Psalm 15. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. All right, we continue to look at these Psalms here, and here we see the editors, the translators of the New King James Bible have put in a little heading here, Psalm 16 there, the character of those who may dwell with the Lord. It is noted in the text itself that this is a Psalm of David. Now, David was the one who, of course, brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem after he was made king. He was the one who began the preparations to build the temple. It was in his heart, of course, to be building the temple. Dwelling at God's sanctuary, entering into the sanctuary, was something that was frequently at his heart. Why, it was his grief, friends. When he was banished from Israel, often during the reign of Saul, that he was away from the house of God. It was his grief when chased from Jerusalem by his ingrate son Absalom, that he was away from the tabernacle of God. The tabernacle of God, of course, and later on the temple that he anticipated, the temple built by his son Solomon, was the place where God symbolically dwelt. It was the place where the priests prayed for the people. It was the place where the priests made the sacrifices, shedding the blood, a picture of the blood that would be shed once for all by Jesus Christ in his high priestly role. It was there at the tabernacle and later the temple, where once a year, the high priest was allowed into the most holy place, there to be sacrificing for himself and then for the people that their sins might be atoned for on that day of atonement. It is there that the mercy seat was located on top of the Ark of the Covenant, that place where the blood was shed. All of this was a picture of God dwelling in the midst of his people. He, Jehovah, was Emmanuel, God with us. He, the Holy One, who dwelt in heavens, was pleased to tabernacle among men. There he was in the midst of his people, and all this was a picture, of course, of Jesus dwelling in the midst of his people, Jesus coming to his own, Jesus taking to himself a true body and reasonable soul, being the God-man, the mediator, who came to live for his people, to die for his people, to be raised again victorious for his people, to rise and ascend to heaven, there to continue his high priestly work and intercession for the people, and someday to return, to rescue, to deliver, to consummate the salvation of his people. All this was spoken of, all this was pictured in a way by the sanctuary, the holy place, and most especially, the most holy place. So, with this in mind, who is to enter truly into the sanctuary of God? Who truly is to enter into the holy place, the most holy place? Why, only those who have only the one with the characteristics here mentioned. None of us, sadly, have perfectly done what is talked about here. And interestingly enough, what we have here in Psalm 15 relates very much with that which we will be looking at the sermon here from Galatians chapter 3 in a few moments. None of us can say that we have walked uprightly. No, much of our life in the past anyway has been walking with sinners, such as talked about in Psalm 1. We have not worked righteousness, we have transgressed the law of God. We have not spoken the truth in our hearts. No, we just saw last week in Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10, the real nature of our hearts. And it's quite the opposite of that. We have indeed backbitten with our tongues. James talks about how the tongue is a nasty thing, how it rules so much of our life, and how at one point it may bless God, and secondly, it then curses the neighbor. We have not avoided backbiting with our tongue. We have frequently done evil to our neighbors in one fashion or another. We have taken up a reproach against our friend. Often we have heeded the gossip of people around. Often we have taken up an evil report. Often we have transgressed against the ninth commandment that way. We have often honored vile people. We have despised those who fear the Lord. And frequently we have made bonds, we have commitments, and we have, without much thought at all, broken them. We maybe try to say, oh, but there's a reason. Oh, there is an excuse here. But we have not been like the one entering into the most holy place who can only legitimately do so, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. We have put out money at usury. Well, perhaps we have not done loan sharking or anything of the sort, but we have demanded certainly frequently more than was our due. And we have very often, friends, been willing to overturn justice for a favor. Maybe we didn't have a $100 bill slipped under the table or anything of the sort, but for one thing or another, we've gone quid pro quo. We've let one hand wash the other. We have done the log rolling like they do in Congress. We have allowed ourselves to be swayed by a favor. He who does the things mentioned here in Psalm 15 shall never be moved, but the implication is that the one who does these things shall be shaken. Yes, his life, as Jesus speaks of at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, is as a fool who builds his house on sand. The wind comes up, the waves roll in, the rain pounds, and everything falls down in a wretched crash. This is our case left to ourselves. What hope is there? Well, David ends this, "He who does these things shall never be moved." It's in the singular there in the Hebrew. There is one and one only who has done these things, and it is only the Lord Jesus Christ. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sin. Only He has done these things. He is the one who is the embodiment of the sanctuary. He is the one who is the not only the reality that the sanctuary, the tabernacle, and then the temple spoke of in type and shadow and form. He is the one who is the basis for the real temple of God, which is the people of God, as Paul speaks of. He is the one who is the chief cornerstone. He is the one upon whom the foundation of the apostles and prophets have been lined up. He is the one, along with his prophets and apostles, upon whom the church is built. And what is the construction material? It is you believers who are the living stones building up the sanctuary of God. You are not there because of your righteousness. You are not there because of your perfect lining up with what is talked about here in Psalm 15. No, you are there only because of the one who did keep that law perfectly, who did all this, who cannot be shaken, who cannot be moved, who is utterly dependable, utterly unchanging. It is because you are based upon Him, because you are found in Him, because you are in covenant with Him by divine grace, and by divine grace alone, that you are brought into and you are composing the sanctuary of God. Now, interestingly enough, as you dwell in Him, as you are built upon Him, these things here that are mentioned more and more characterize your life, of course, because you are not only just a living stone now, you are built upon that foundation. You are built upon that chief cornerstone, and He Himself lives within you, and He is transforming you. He is forgiving your sin, and He is cleansing you from all unrighteousness. And so more and more these things in Psalm 15 characterize your life as well. So, do you see any holiness going on in your life? Do you see any change? Do you see any transformation? And do you enjoy the fact and note the fact that you are now related and in covenant with this One who is the base of all the sanctuary? Are you enjoying the fact that Jesus dwells within you and within your brothers and sisters? Well, give thanks to Him who did all these things, who has done them all perfectly, and is making you to be more and more like Him. Psalm 15 is by no means something celebrating our own good works. No, rather, it points to Him who did all things well, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us sing of Him. Let us sing of His righteousness. Let us sing of His holiness. Let us sing of Him who makes us to be His sanctuary where He delights to dwell. Psalm 15.